December the 4th, 1685. I was standing with Friday on top of the hill, on a very clear day, when he became excited, pointing to the distant land on the horizon. This, he said, was his home. I wondered whether he was homesick, so I asked him about his future, for I didn't want to keep Friday if he was miserable. Did he really want to go home? He said yes, but he couldn't swim that far. And when I said I'd make him a canoe, he replied that he would only return to his island if I agreed to go with him. Hoping there would still be white men on the island, I agreed. Soon we began to make plans. February the 6th, 1689. It's the rainy season again. My canoe is too small to take both of us, so Friday and I have built a large canoe, and I have managed to fit our craft up with masts and sails. When I thought of how long I took to build my first canoe, I was amazed how much faster the job has been with both of us working together. To protect our new canoe during the torrential rain, we brought her up the creek. Friday made a small dock at high water that was just big enough to hold her, and just deep enough to keep the canoe afloat. When the tide was out, we made a dam at the end of the dock to keep the sea out, and built a thatch canopy over the boat. It must be kept safe if we are to escape from the island. April the 17th, 1686. The rainy season has passed. This morning, as we were about to set off on our voyage, I asked Friday if he would go down to the shore and try to find us a turtle to eat on the journey. But he soon came running back in a terrified state, saying he'd seen three canoes heading for our shores. The cannibals were back. "Don't worry," I said. "We have enough guns and ammunition to fight them." I hoped it was true. To keep our spirits up, we both had a dram of the precious rum that I had kept for so many years. I felt much better for it. I think Friday did too. Then I taught Friday how to load two shotguns with large shot. I myself loaded four muskets and a couple of pistols. I took a sword, and Friday armed himself with his hatchet. We were ready for them. Taking my perspective glass, we climbed the hill. From there, I could see that 21 cannibals, three prisoners, and three canoes were up on the beach. A large banquet was being prepared. The cannibals had landed much nearer to my creek this time, where a thick wood came close down to the sea. I divided up the weapons between us and put a small bottle of rum in my pocket. Then we set out for the battle. We entered the wood and crept down towards the beach, keeping well out of sight. Using a small thicket as cover, we approached the cannibals, who were sitting round the fire, eating the flesh of one of their prisoners. Friday went to check the numbers again. He returned with news. The Indians were not of his tribe, but more important, one of the prisoners was a white man, a Spaniard from the shipwreck he had told me about. Climbing a tree, I soon saw that Friday was right. The Spaniard lay upon the beach, his hands and feet tied. Friday and I began cautiously to advance upon the shore, but as we did so, several of the cannibals left their fire and ran towards the Spaniard. In a moment he would be killed. We could delay no longer. Friday and I ran from the wood firing. The cannibals fell before us, some dead, some wounded. While Friday covered me with his guns, I hurried over to the Spaniard, cut his bonds, and pressed the rum bottle to his lips. He tried to speak, but I interrupted. "Señor," I said in as much Spanish as I could muster, "we will talk afterwards, but we must fight now. If you have any strength left, take this pistol and sword and attack." Then the Indians were upon us again. Friday held them off for as long as he could, and while I was reloading, the Spaniard plunged into battle. I saw him fighting one of the Indians with the sword I had given him. The battle was a fierce one, and I watched as I saw the Spaniard fall. I thought he must surely be killed, but at the last moment he drew his pistol and shot his attacker dead. Of the 21 cannibals on the beach, Only four escaped in a canoe. Then I discovered another Indian lying in the bottom of one of the canoes. He was bound hand and foot. I immediately cut him free, but he couldn't stand or speak. Clearly he believed he was about to be killed by yet another enemy. I gave him a dram of rum, and he was able to sit up. When Friday looked him in the face, to his amazement, he realized he was gazing at his own beloved father. Friday kissed and hugged him, crying, laughing, jumping about, dancing, singing, then crying again. Later he went to sit down beside his father and held his head. It was a deeply moving sight. That night we all four dined together from a yearling goat. Friday was the interpreter. After so many years alone, here I was, surrounded by three companions. It was unbelievable. After dinner, I asked Friday if he would take one of the canoes, pick up the weapons we had left on the field of battle, and bury the dead on the beach, as he had done when we first met. I also asked him to bury the remains of that awful cannibal feast.